Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's have a chat with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Steve.
Here's some of the thoughts from the fans on the social media. Baz says, Nathaniel Klein to seek medical advice from Coutinho, who miraculously recovered from back problems en route to Brazil. Very good, Baz. Andy says, it's strange. We all know Coutinho has been pretending he's injured, but we're all willing to welcome him back with open arms. Bizarre. Well, we are, aren't we? On the Everton front, Gareth says, if Nias scores a goal for us, I'm on the pitch celebrating with him. Miraculous comeback. Paul says, it's time to get behind Nias. Let's do it, Blues. And Mick says, if Nias gets his chance, I hope he takes it. His attitude has been faultless, unlike some others we could mention. Has his locker been upgraded, though? That's what we want to know. Is he back with the big boys? So, Umar Nias, let's start with him on the Everton front. He needs some goals, doesn't he, Ronald Koeman? So I suppose he didn't have much option.
Well, if you look on what Ronald Koeman said in the press conference yesterday, he basically said that we couldn't get our fifth. There's no point buying a fifth and sixth choice when it comes to strikers. He went for one and two, which is believed to have been Oliver Giroud and Christian Benteke. They didn't come off, so what's the point in going and your third, fourth, fifth and sixth choice when you've got the likes of Nias there, which is only your fifth and sixth choice anyway? I think Ronald Koeman would prefer to go with Calvert-Lewin, Rooney, Sancho Ramirez, and then, if needs must, then I think he'll even stick a Klaassen or Sigurdsson above there before Nias. But obviously, if injuries take its toll and suspensions, etc., if needs must in an emergency, you may see him in an Everton shirt once more.
A miraculous comeback for him. Right, there's other characters to deal with. Normally after the international break, the manager fears with dealing with injuries, but actually it's personalities he's had to deal with in the past few days. So Ross Barkley, Kevin Morales, and we'll start with Wayne Rooney. So a lot of the papers here, for example, is the Mirror's back page. Rue's last chance saloon. Wayne Rooney has been handed an Everton lifeline, but only after an ultimatum delivered by hardline boss Ronald Koeman. Koeman revealed him and Bill Kenwright both had heart-to-heart talks with Rooney. Are you confident that that's all sort of done and dusted now and you'll see the best of Wayne?
Well, I'm confident that what he'll do is talking on the pitch as well. That's what Wayne Rooney's done throughout his career. He's been obviously involved in lots of controversy throughout his career at Manchester United and England and now Everton. And what he's done has answered his critics on the pitch. That's all well and good. What you do in your private life, up to you. That's all well and good. But I think when it comes to the pitch, no one can criticise Wayne Rooney's performances for Everton, Manchester United and England. It's exceptional, isn't it? There's records there for all to see. Won every trophy the game's got to offer. So I just think when it comes to being on the football pitch, Wayne Rooney is an example, isn't he? Off the pitch, not so sure. But I think I wouldn't have liked to have been in Wayne Rooney's shoes when Ronald Koeman met him in Finch Farm on Tuesday morning. I wouldn't like to have other word with Ronald Koeman after that one.
No, the Koeman glare. Oh, goodness me. And did Ross Barkley get that as well? Or is Ross... Is there an olive branch there? Is there a chance that he might play again? You seem to sort of quash this last week.
Yeah. I just can't see that there's any room for manoeuvre in this one. But what I'm led to believe is that Ross Barkley had a good talk and a good outgoing spoken in terms with Ronald Koeman. Why the Chelsea move didn't occur. He gave his reasons and that stayed private, which is the correct decision. No one else should need to know. There's two ways of looking at this. Everyone's thinking, listen, you went to Chelsea, you wanted your move. For one reason or another, it didn't materialise. But there's another flip side to this. They're saying, well, what's Ross Barkley done wrong? He's seen his contract out at Everton. He's never asked for a transfer. He hasn't done a transfer request in. He's seen his contract out and he wants to move elsewhere. So there's two sides of looking at it. I'm in the side of, listen, he's done and dusted in his Everton career now. He wants another move. He wants to see pastures new. I'm not fine. That's all well and good. For me, he doesn't get in the Everton team, and I don't think he gets anywhere near the Chelsea and Tottenham team by any stretch of the imagination. So I think by not moving to Chelsea, he's done damage to his England career as in regards to the next year's World Cup. I don't think he'll get in the squad now because he's not going to kick a ball from now until January at least. So basically, he's got 3 or 4 months to prove Gareth Southgate he's worthy of a place in the England team. I'm not so sure. I think that move has damaged his England and prospects for next year's World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. So January's probably the move for him. Right, let's have a look at the games at the weekend. They've got this little thing in the Independent called the Fan Matrix, where they have a quote from a fan from each club. So Let's read them out from each of the clubs that we're focusing on this weekend. We'll start with Everton. And this is from a guy called Marcus. He says, Spurs next. And after our last dismal performance, we're hoping for better. Will be tricky, but now the uncertainty surrounding the squad has passed, we can start to gel. Not getting another striker could prove a mistake. So that's the thoughts of Marcus. Was it that dismal, the last outing?
It was. I just think they just blew out, didn't they? They had that really tough game against Manchester City on the Monday night, and then they went to Croatia on the Thursday night, come away from that unbeaten, and then they had Chelsea on the Sunday, which was just too much to ask. I don't think many teams could cope with playing Manchester City and Chelsea and the Europa League match away from home in 1 week. It was just too much to ask for. And if you probably were to ask the majority of Evertonians, would you have taken a point possibly out of two tough away Premier League matches and get through to the qualifying rounds and the group stages of the Europa League? He probably would have took that. It's two big ties out the way, isn't it? Chelsea away and Manchester City away. They knocked off your fixture list now. You can move on. Yeah, we've got Tottenham and Manchester United coming up in the next couple of weeks. After that, there's a nice run of fixtures for Everton and a lot of tough fixtures out the way, which when you're looking at it now, you've got all the big fixtures out the way. I think it'll stand a really good stead in regards to fitness as well.
Well, the Tottenham fan they're speaking to in this article, Corey, is just absolutely absorbed in what's going on with their home fixtures. He says, you're daft if you reckon we won't do some sort of ticket package, including both a Premier League and NFL game. It's already been said by Levy about the Premier League game in the afternoon and an NFL game in the evening. I can hear it now. Defence. They're a little bit hung up this season, aren't they, by where they're playing their home matches, Tottenham?
Yeah, you can see where the fans' frustration's coming from if you're a Spurs fan. But listen, if you're looking towards Tottenham and Everton tomorrow, Tottenham's last three away matches in the Premier League have seen them score 15 goals, don't forget. Obviously, the two big wins towards the back end of last season against Hull and Leicester, and the 2-0 away victory at Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. So if you're looking in regards to Tottenham away from home, the 4-5 to win this one. Everton, interestingly, 11-4 to win a home match. Tottenham without Wanyama, Trippier and Rose. So that'll be interesting to see how their squad copes with that. You've got a big enough squad. Let's see how they do cope with that. But Tottenham have a decent record, Steve, at Goodison Park. They haven't lost there in the last four trips. And if you're looking at it as an overhaul context of Everton versus Tottenham, Everton's last win against Tottenham came 5 years ago. So that's 9 matches without a win against Tottenham for Everton. Something they're going to have to address quickly.
You just skirted over it quite quickly. Everton, the home team, and they're 11-4.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. You think, do you know what? This is an Everton team that got a point at Manchester City. The home record was the best, one of the best in the country last season. Beat all the big teams, didn't they? Arsenal, etc. So, and they would come out unbeaten against a lot of the big teams, Manchester United. They beat Manchester City and Chelsea as well. So I just think Everton at home are a tough nut to crack. And that 11-4, if you're a neutral, isn't it big? I know a lot of Evertonians that don't bet on Everton, obviously, for obvious purposes. But I just think 11-4 for the home team, that's very good at Goodison Park. Tottenham a bit shaky at the moment, but their away record is absolutely outstanding, isn't it, the last couple of games. So if I was having a bet on this one, Steve, I'd have to sit on the fence and go for a 1-1 draw, which has been very popular over the last couple of seasons between Everton and Tottenham.
OK, down the road, Man City against Liverpool in the midday kickoff on Saturday. So the Man City fan in the paper here says, seems to be a few headaches for my team and Pep. What formation do we go for? Who plays if company doesn't? Who replaces Sterling? I think we're a little undercooked for all this and Liverpool are flying. Is that a good assessment?
It probably is, but if you were a neutral, Steve, this is a game that is mouthwatering, isn't it? For a neutral, you just want to watch two teams that attack each other and abandon defences, and that's what this match is going to be. There's no two ways about it. It's not going to end 0-0. It's not going to end at 1-1. Over three. It's going to be in everyone's best tomorrow. Over three goals. Both teams to score. It's going to be everything. It's got the two defences. Well, they're not defences, are they? And the two teams that just love to attack. Great philosophy with Guardiola and Klopp. Not sure if it's set out for the Premier League. It may be set up for European football. But I just think in the Premier League, you need a solid defence. And I'm unsure on Liverpool and Manchester City for the title this season. I'm obviously edging towards Manchester City on the sole basis, Manchester United, on the sole basis that they've got the best defence. But listen, it's Manchester City versus Liverpool, and when Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool in big games, the record is there to stand up for all to see, isn't it? Yeah, under Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool have only lost one of the last 22 matches against last season's top seven. That's unbelievable. And Klopp's record against Manchester City is outstanding too. Played 4, won 3, drew 1.
He likes the big games, doesn't he, Jurgen? We were talking on the Radio City Legends last night with Aldo about the depth in strength being a bit better for Liverpool. You look at the bench now and you go, that's not so bad. But there are a couple of areas that you still have a question mark against. So say, for example, left back tomorrow, some people would say, oh, Robertson's got to play. Others would say, well, he's stuck with Moreno this season for a few games. He's obviously going to play. It still seems there's no sort of certainty in that position.
There is an uncertainty when it comes to certain positions. Now, I look at Liverpool inoffensively and they're brilliant, aren't they? They've got loads of strength in depth. Salah, Mane, Lallana to come back. All them influential players. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain now, Firmino. Lots of creative, and there's lots of goals in that team. It's just the other end of the pitch is where Liverpool's concern are, and especially when it comes to strength and depth, isn't it? If a Lovren got injured or a Matip or see Karagin, we know how long he's out for. If a little drop in form to Trent, you just don't know what could happen now. And I just think it's a bit of naivety under Liverpool's behalf there in the summer. Yes, he sounds to be desperate, Van Dijk. He should have been a plan B for me. It didn't materialise. And I think I alluded to it last week. When you see from now till Christmas, if Liverpool start chipping in goals and Everton start knocking scoring goals, rather, it's only going to add flowers to the favourites. And when you're thinking, not many fans fancied it when we started the transfer window. They needed to address that centre-half. Everton needed that centre-forward. It hasn't came about, and now we're seeing what possibly could happen when you look at the strength and depth in both teams.
12:30 is the kickoff at the Etihad Stadium. That's on Sky Sports. Man City against Liverpool. 3 p.m. is the kickoff at Goodison Park. That's on your hooky box if you can't get to the game tomorrow. right, okay. You've not said anything about cards. You don't think anyone's in for severe bookings tomorrow?
No, I just think there's going to be a flurry of goals, Steve. Anyone who's having a bet on this one, the bet I do like is Firmino and Aguero to score in the game. It's 7-1. I think it's an outstanding bet. But interestingly, we know Firmino and Aguero, both from set pieces and penalty takers as well. Aguero has scored in all 5 Premier League home games against Liverpool. That's an interesting stat. And another also one, Steve, that there's been 24 goals in the last 7 fixtures between Manchester City and Liverpool. So when Manchester City and Liverpool meet, 24 goals in the last 7 matches, over 3.5 goals per game. I think it's another classic match for us to involve in tomorrow.
The kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.